When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of our Lord.
So during the Easter season of the last 50 days in the church calendar, we've been considering who Jesus is now for us as the risen Christ. We've been hearing stories about how to become aware of his presence when he's walking beside us down a road, for example, to Emmaus. We've been considering his challenge for us to love one another and act as if we're in relationship with a loving and compassionate God. And today we arrive at the Feast of Pentecost, when the church celebrates its birthday and Jesus' birthday gift to each of us, the Holy Spirit. I presume most of you were taught to write thank you notes when you get a gift from someone, yes? Some notes are sort of forced. Okay, but yeah. Some notes sort of write themselves when the gift we receive is something we're wanting or we know what to do with. Like, "Dear Nana, thank you so much for the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. I'll be the first one on my block to have one, and I am jazzed." Or, "Dear Auntie G, thanks so much for my first Beatles album. Since it was a present from you, maybe Mom will let me listen to rock and roll music now." But what do you say about a gift that you don't understand or you don't know how to use? I mean, of course, we start off with thank you, but what we're really wondering is, what in the world do I use this for? I'm guessing that was the initial reaction by several of Jesus' disciples in this morning's gospel reading. But fortunately for them, when Jesus breathes on them and gives them this amazing and perplexing gift of the Holy Spirit, he tells them right away how to use it, to forgive sins and to be bearers of peace. In the remainder of today's lessons, which we didn't hear this morning, we're told by the Apostle Paul that when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not ours to keep tucked away for private use. The Holy Spirit is a gift that is to be shared generously and lavishly. I think of the Holy Spirit as a gift that keeps on giving. In addition to being the indwelling presence of God within us, it plants within us additional gifts and talents. I'll get back to that in a minute. But given that it's the Feast of Pentecost, which is a baptismal feast in our calendar, and that we're going to baptize 15-month-old Keanu Noah Mesa in just a few minutes, I think it's important for us to remember that the baptismal liturgy was created to help us consciously participate in welcoming newcomers into the household of God, to let us as a community acknowledge that little Keanu has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit also, and to promise to help support Keanu and his family as they walk this path and bear the light of the Christ. And so as a part of this, we will be renewing our baptismal vows today as well. So, where does this leave us? What can we take away from this morning's gospel? The Holy Spirit gives us each gifts and activates them so that they can be used for the common good. Our gifts are meant to be shared. This means that for all of us, we are each called to be involved in some sort of ministry. Ministry is not something to be left to the paid staff or to the ordained. It is the work of each and every Christian. If I were a bit bolder and if I had the gift of being a squeaky wheel, I'd be more explicit and I'd say something like, the Holy Spirit has given you gifts. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes, you. Let's work together to find out what those gifts are and how you can use them for the common good. If you look around this church or this community and you don't see anything you can do, then buddy up with one of our gifted squeaky wheels. He or she may not personally have the gift to fix the problem, but he or she can certainly point us to ripe opportunities for service. In the meantime, instead of thinking of our God-given gifts and skills and strengths as something we possess, Paul reminds us that we have not done anything to deserve them. Gifts are not merit badges for holiness. They are not signs of approval by God. No, the gifts God gives us are God's way of responding to a world in need. You know the old joke. Well, not kind of a joke, but sometimes I want to ask God why he allows poverty, famine, and injustice in the world when he could do something about it. But I'm afraid he might just ask me the same thing. So that said, I read an unsettling book recently. It upset my apple cart a bit. It was written by a tattooed, profane, and angry Lutheran pastor named Nadia. She's the founding pastor of the House for All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado. The book is entitled Accidental Saints, Finding God in All the Wrong People. As you might surmise from the book's title, Pastor Nadia does not think that these days most people are inspired by gleaming stories of perfectly pious people who are held up as examples of how we should live our lives in order to get into heaven. I was startled when I read this because I believe that too. I was just afraid to say it. At least for me, being shown an example of some extraordinary person who overcame her flaws and lived happily ever after with God was not an effective role model for me. That kind of saintly example kind of set the bar too high for me. I felt secretly guilty about not even trying to live up to that kind of standard. But I knew it was way out of my league. So imagine my surprise when I read Pastor Nadia's words about the viewpoint of her church. She says, what we celebrate in the saints is not their piety or perfection, but the fact that we believe in a God who gets redemptive and holy things done in this world through, of all things, human beings, all of whom are flawed. She continues, I have come to realize that all the saints I've known have been accidental ones, people who inadvertently stumbled into redemption, like they were looking for something else at the time. For example, people who have just a wee bit of a drinking problem and manage to get sober and help others do the same. Or usually hostile people who have a momentary bout of kindness. These are people I can relate to. Her book is filled with honest stories about flawed, aka normal people, who are examples of how God works through sinners, aka all of us. They are stories about how God works through us for others and upon us by others. The reason I bring this up is that earlier I mentioned that the indwelling Holy Spirit in each of us brings us gifts and talents. I urge you to find a way to engage your gifts and talents for the larger good. In fact, I said, instead of thinking of our God-given gifts, skills, and strengths as things we possess, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we have not done anything to deserve them. Gifts are not merit badges for holiness or signs of approval from God. No, the gifts God gives us are God's way of responding to a world in need. I believe that very much. But now, having read Pastor Nadia, I want to add this little footnote. Yes, God gives us each gifts, skills, and strengths. But most of God's work in this world has been done through sinners. There's nothing wrong with that. Pastor Nadia says, sometimes the people least qualified, are the ones God's looking for. God is very good at using our flaws and brokenness to bring about grace and peace and forgiveness. Sometimes even when we're kicking and screaming, no, I can't do this. And sometimes the gift back to us is that we look back and we see that we've just done something we thought we were incapable of doing. And we surprisingly feel good about it. I don't know about you, but I can relate better to a God who will accept me as I am and even figure out a way to let me be useful in spite of myself. And once in a while, if we find ourselves speaking with an eloquence we know we don't possess, or we notice ourselves offering forgiveness we hadn't meant to offer, or we find ourselves taking risks we thought we didn't have the courage to take, or we find ourselves reaching out to someone we'd intended to walk away from, it's possible that the Holy Spirit is at work within us and through us. As Pastor Nadia would advise, just hang on and watch the glory of God be revealed in the midst of our crap, all the time, all around us, in spite of ourselves. That is grace. Thank God.